Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Don't always do what I should. I'd be better music. If I thought I could. I'm a sucker for adrenaline. Every villain is. Feels good to be.
All right, you're getting a whole lot of bad here right now. It's Brent Anthony Davis. It is bad language. It's not know your enemy, but I'm bringing in.
We're friends.
A good friend from Cleveland. Yeah, there are good guys in Cleveland, and Lou Marconi is definitely one of them.
Thank you.
What is going on, buddy?
Oh, nothing, man. Aren't you kind of glad this draft weekend is over? Like, we're just like, we can all catch our breaths now. It's like, okay, it's over now. Let's get back to some normalcy. I think it's just been crazy. It's been a crazy weekend.
I'm elated, and it was a fun draft weekend. We are going to talk about the division because I think the AFC North had one of the best drafts as a collection, as a division. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to definitely talk about your Cleveland Browns, but let's talk about Lou Marconi first. That's the most important thing. Lou comes from us, from the Fans First Sports Networks.
Yes.
Fanatical Elves.
Yes.
And you have the Burning River podcast.
Burning River Browns Talk. Yes. That's every Sunday night at 9:30 on the Fans First Sports Network, Fanatical Elves Network. And I even go live on X too. 9:30 Sunday through Thursday. I do a live Friday night longer show with a fellow colleague named Sherry. And she's with she's another local reporter. And she comes on with me. We talk Browns. We talk Cleveland sports talk mostly because we got NBA playoffs too going on. But man, I appreciate you having me on. It was a fun draft. You're right. There was also a very interesting interview that I saw a colleague showed it on X. I don't know if you saw it. CJ Stroud was asked what's the toughest division he faced in his rookie year. And he said AFC North. Didn't even hesitate. He talked about how much better the AFC North is than anybody else in the NFL. And that is the truth. But go ahead, man.
Who would you say is the, I don't want to say top defense, because we would argue that completely. And
we would both
make a good case. But right now I would say Cleveland is the number one defense there, but Baltimore's great. Pittsburgh is great.
So, well,
Cincinnati's probably the worst, I would say, in the four, and they're good in any other division.
Especially if they lose Trey Hendrickson, because I know he requested a trade, and that's going to hurt them. That's really going to hurt them. So, yeah, I would say, man, every year Pittsburgh has a good defense. That's what I tell people. It's just one of those things. It's baked into the cake. here's another thing that I think Browns fans are starting to kind of get cognizant of, because we're not used to this. We've had the same general manager and coach and front office for 5 years now. Pittsburgh's had their people in place for decades. And so is Baltimore. And even Cincinnati a little bit, not quite as long. When you have people in place, you have a program and you know what kind of players you're going to get. You find players, whether you draft them, trade for them, or free agency, that fit the program. When you're churning over head coaches and general managers every 2 or 3 years, you can't get that. You can't get that consistency. You can't get that continuity. We finally have it. So we're just kind of adjusting to it. Now we're like, whoa, we actually have something going here. And I mean, Pittsburgh, they've had it forever. I mean, how long was Omar Khan with the organization before he was promoted to general manager? Wasn't he there at the same time Colbert was there?
Almost 20 years. Yeah. Omar was actually, you could see him on the sidelines in the Dark Knight, in that Batman movie when it was
filmed. Yeah, because I remember that was in Pittsburgh, and I saw Hines Ward. This is way back.
Hines Ward scored the touchdown when the stadium was crumbling. Yeah,
Yeah, but he scored. Yeah, yeah. That was because that was filmed in Pittsburgh. Yeah,
we could see Ben Roethlisberger on the sidelines, Brett Kiesel. A few of those guys all had their Gotham Rogues uniforms, but an assistant coach was Omar Khan.
Ah, interesting. Okay, so he's been with the organization a long time, in other words, and they've had the consistency and the people in place. So it's something. You've had that stability in Pittsburgh, and that's why you've stayed good. You haven't. When was the last time you had a losing season? I mean, seriously.
Well, it's. I could definitely tell you because it's 2003, the season that netted the Pittsburgh Steelers Ben Roethlisberger.
Right. So that tells you that's been 20 years since you had a losing season.
So and this is a very spoiled fan base too, because the non-losing seasons, the 9-7s, and now would be a 9-8 or a 10-7 now. But even those 8-8s that Mike Tomlin's had a couple of 8-8s, and those can't happen again unless there's a tie. But so you're not going to have a true 500 team ever again until they switch it to 18 games possibly. But Mike, that's not good enough in Pittsburgh, which is a shame because Mike Tomlin is a phenomenal coach.
And he's a good coach. He's a very good coach. He's done the job very well. I would give him his props. I give the Pittsburgh organization its props. Absolutely. They've done it. I mean, it's just look what they've done. Look what they've accomplished. That's a phenomenal. The NFL is so hard to win games, guys. It is not easy. They make it look easy. It's not. But go ahead, man. Go ahead.
Well, I want to ask you this. This is important because I love having a cool Browns fan on here, a cool Browns commentator on here.
Okay.
And because that's kind of the way bad language, that's kind of the way the Steel Curtain Network.
I was asking, but when you say bad language, what does that mean?
Brian Anthony Davis.
Yes, I got you. I got
you. So there you go. Yeah, I haven't cussed on the show yet, but we'll get it's coming. But anyways, so rate your hate though. And how do you view the three other organizations as a Browns fan? Because the Steelers, they look at, I'm just going to be completely honest with you. They have equal hate for everybody. However, there's a lot of respect for the Baltimore Ravens organization. The Browns are still treated as a little brother here.
Yep. Oh, that's why I said they look down on us. That's what I meant by that. Yeah. Until we consistently beat you guys, it'll be that way.
And that day's coming. And that day was there in the 80s too. And I get it. And the Bengals are the organization's completely disrespected here. So with
what do you
the
mean
Browns
by completely disrespected versus being treated like a little brother. I'm trying to wonder.
Well,
what's the difference? What do you mean? What's the difference?
The difference is the fan base. Let's just talk about fan bases. There's a lot of respect for the Browns fan base here.
Yes.
And no respect for the Cincinnati Bengals base. But we look at the organization as a joke, the way they run business. And I'm talking Cincinnati. And I don't feel like even though there's dislike for Cleveland, because it's a great rivalry, it's been around a long time, I don't think that there's a disrespect that they feel like the organization's a joke.
Well, I remember at first, I will say this before people might question Browns fans' sanity, but they don't question our loyalty. We've been loyal for those 20 years after expansion.
Hence the respect.
Yeah, which is like, man, why do you guys still? I mean, I think you guys are kind of like, wow, you're still coming to games. You're still supporting this team. You have faith. You think it's going to turn around for you. What's wrong with you?
Can I stop you real quick?
Go ahead.
We're Pirates fans, so we understand that.
Yeah, and meanwhile, well, Indians now Guardians. They've been run very well, but they criticize the owner for being cheap with our baseball team as well. And he gets the rightful criticism, but they're playing very well right now. I know they were going in extra innings with Atlanta today. But I'll be honest with you now with Cincinnati. Yeah, I could see that. I could see that. Cause well, first off, let's go back to being a joke. I remember the ridicule when the Watson deal first happened in the trade. And here we are 2 years later, it hasn't worked out yet. Of course not. Cause he's only played in like 12 games. And that's it. But we haven't had to cut any players because of it, because they're managing the cap so well. And how they're managing the cap is that the owner is restructuring contracts strategically, paying out the cash for it to manage the cap. And they could do another restructure of Watson's and be another $30 million under easily. But if they do that, they might not necessarily do that this year. So what was first considered kind of laughable, all right, well, here we are. We have a very good roster. We do. I mean, so does Pittsburgh and so does Cincinnati and so does Baltimore. We're right there. We could compete with every one of you guys. And we still have this guy that we consider for at least the next 3 years under contract. If he's ready to go to heal it up. I mean, so much so that you guys knew you had to get a quarterback to compete in this division. So you went out and got Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. And you got to have to do that. They cut bait and they just, but they cut their losses and moved on from Pickett pretty quick. That was about 2 years, wasn't it, that he had?
Seasons here. And he was the
darling of Pittsburgh. They loved him from what I heard. Yeah.
Then they turned. They turned on him. And the reason they turned on him, there was a lot of stories about him having problems with the fact that he was not starting in the playoffs after Mason Rudolph won three straight games in his.
Yeah, you got good quarterback play out of him, and they got in the playoffs. Yeah, Mason Rudolph. But is Mason still on the team, or I thought he went to Tennessee?
Mason's in Tennessee, okay. And that's an entirely new quarterback room. But what really happened there is he asked for the trade. He was done.
And he did ask for it. Okay.
He asked for it. They did not jettison him out of there. They actually talked to him before bringing in Russell Wilson, but there's some claims of promises that he was still the starter. And the claim was that he was still going to be number one on the depth chart, but it just, he asked for a trade and he got it right away. They traded him as soon as he did it, and they pivoted. And about 28 hours later, Justin Fields was there.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, I remember that. So that was interesting. That was just because I'm not sure, there could have been internal things. I know with the Matt Canada firing too, I don't think that having Matt Canada as his offensive coordinator helped either.
No, so. it did not. And the shame of it is he only had five quarters without Matt Canada. And the man went 32 of 40 as a pass, still didn't have touchdowns. Playing so many games last season, having six touchdowns, it was a rough go for him. So the new horizon it's really exciting to see what Russell Wilson can do in Pittsburgh, because he was 28-6, not a record, but 28 touchdowns to six interceptions last season, and then Justin Fields as well. There's so much excitement. There's excitement after this draft. But what I really want to talk about is the Cleveland draft and the rest of the division. How are you feeling after this draft? I know it took a while for the Browns to get started because you had Watson trade.
It wasn't true. Yeah, we didn't have a first round pick, but now next year we'll have a first round pick plus 9 picks total, which is interesting. We had 6 picks total in this draft. A lot of these guys we knew weren't going to be coming in to be impact players right away, because the old MO for the Browns fans was, oh, we got to draft this guy. We got him in the third round. We're expecting him to start and perform at a high level. That's not the case anymore. The most intriguing, this is something interesting. I don't know if you knew about this. The first round pick with the Ohio State defensive lineman,
Michael Hall Jr.
Michael Hall Jr. And our second round pick, and the third pick, Zach Zinter. Michael Hall Jr. fell on his leg and broke his leg at the Ohio State Michigan game.
Oh my goodness!
Did you know that?
I knew he had a broken. I'm reading right here. He had a broken leg. Jr.
It was brutal. That, you remember, I don't know if you watched Ohio State Michigan last year. ABC would not show the replay because how nasty it looked. Like when Nick Chubb had his injury in Pittsburgh, they showed it on the replay in Pittsburgh at the home stadium, and I could hear the people going, "Oh, just because how nasty that injury was." They didn't show it on Monday Night Football. They wouldn't show the replay because of how bad it looked.
Yeah, so, and I gave them praise for that. That was, of course, I was on Twitter right away looking for it, but
And I did write an article praising the Steeler fans for showing class. I did write an article saying thank you. I thought it was a new era of respect in the rivalry, because I think we would have done the same if it was Najee Harris in our stadium.
Cincinnati would have not. I will tell you that.
No, Cincinnati threw garbage at Ben Roethlisberger. Was that a playoff game?
Yeah, playoff game through beer. Yeah. Through, but Cincinnati's trying to take all this credit for the DeMar Hamlin, for the way they treated DeMar Hamlin, and that's. Ryan Shazier being carted off the field.
Yes. Ohio State Buckeye. Mm-hmm.
They were booing him.
Ooh, Cincinnati was?
Cincinnati was. That was Monday Night Football, and they were not as cordial. So
yeah,
I still have a problem with a lot of Cincinnati fans. Not all. Yeah. There's a few on the Fans First Sports Network I have a lot of respect for, but.
Yeah, I'm okay with Steeler fans too. I'm okay. Cincinnati fans, I just kind of like, whatever. I just don't listen to them. I thought the draft overall, considering they didn't have a first round pick, they drafted for the future with the first two picks, because I did say in my show that our guard, Joel Bitonio, been on the team for 10 years. This is his 10th season. He's going to be 34. He's been having back problems. When you start having back problems as an offensive lineman, it might not be good. So they brought in Zach Zinder, because if he didn't break his leg against Ohio State, he probably would have been a late first, early second round pick. He was one of the best guards in the country. He's a monster. So if he's ready, I guess he's fully healed. He's ready to go. We'll see. The other one was Michael Hall Jr. He's another one. He's a development guy. He's a guy they're going to look to develop and plug in, because we have a lot of older starting defensive linemen, including Quentin Jefferson, Dalvin Tomlinson, Maurice Hurst, Shelby Harris. So plus he's going to be taking a spot from maybe a last year draft pick, Siaki Ika, where he was from Oregon. He didn't really fit into the defense. He didn't play that much. So we'll see how it pans out, because we did lose Jordan Elliott to the 49ers, who was a draft pick that actually did produce for us last year. And the thing I was pointing out with the whole division before we even started was it looked like the emphasis, even the Steelers themselves, line of scrimmage. You guys went out and got two very good offensive linemen. You obviously knew the importance of protecting the quarterback and running the football, which it's an AFC North. You gotta win in the trenches.
I hate to say this to you.
Yeah.
But they went guard in round four. And this is a kid from South Dakota State.
Okay.
That Mason McCormick, that is just plain nasty as a guard.
I've heard about him.
So, I mean, three of your first five picks, because they had two number threes,
were offensive linemen. They're fixing the offensive line. That's what
then they went and got a defensive lineman too. So they went trench.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what they were doing. They knew that was going to be well. And Cameron Hayward's been on the team a long time. I mean, God, he was a Buckeye. He was another Ohio State Buckeye.
2011.
Yeah, so he's got that makes him about his mid-30s. So he's still going strong.
Yeah, hopefully they can get two more years out of Cam.
Because Bitonio's talking about retiring already, so this might be his final season with us. And he's been excellent. He's been a Pro Bowl guard, been fantastic. Wyatt Teller's the other one. He's on a very expensive contract. He hasn't been playing his best, but he's been hurt a lot the last 2 years. So we got to start thinking about the future. This is one thing last year's draft that I thought was interesting. DeJuan Jones, the tackle from Ohio State.
Fourth round. I loved that pick.
For some reason, we heard stories that Tomlin did not want him. Did you know why? I'm kind of curious. Tomlin didn't want to draft him. I don't know why. The guy's 6'8", 350 pounds, and athletic. I'm like, I was like, geez. We nicknamed him Thanos. This was from the 2023 draft. He was a first-round talent in the fourth round.
Yeah.
I don't know how we got him. And the year before that was Martin Emerson, which was a first-round talent in the third round, the defensive back. Cleveland arguably has one of the best secondaries in the NFL. I mean, it's crazy, but go ahead.
The only thing I can think of is they went Broderick Jones and they had other needs that they were looking at. I don't think they had a problem with DeJuan at all. Because I don't know whether he was in for a draft visit, but I know there were some eyes on him.
Yeah.
And we were talking about him as a potential in the third or fourth round, but with the taking Joey Porter in the second and Keanu Benton in the second, which was, I mean, a great second round haul. In the third round, they ended up trading back to recoup not to about 11 picks, but to recoup that pick that they lost by moving up for Broderick Jones. So they ended up with Nick Herbig out of Wisconsin, who is a find as well. They took Darnell Washington, the big tight end, and they wanted to go back on defense. They needed to get an inside linebacker. They had Nick Herbig, which is Nick Herbig's brother, and they knew a lot about Nick because TJ Watt would go to Wisconsin, go back to his alma mater, and help coach him up. And so they felt not only did they bring in Nick Herbig, they brought in his best friend two rounds before, Keanu Benton, who were just stalwarts on that Badger defense. So there just wasn't room for him. And there was no fifth round pick either. So
I see. Okay. So, all right. So that was just because I heard that BS, excuse me.
Hey, that's okay.
could have been BS. I was just curious. One thing I wanted to point out with Cincinnati's first round pick, the tackle they got from Georgia. Did you know this, that he only played in 8 college football games?
Yep.
Why would you waste a first round pick on that? I mean, that's almost as head scratching as Atlanta spending all that money on Kirk Cousins and then drafting a quarterback. The quarterbacks in this draft, I didn't see anything with these guys. That's might be me. I think they're mediocre at best, including Bo Nix. But hey,
it was a run thing. As far as Mims goes, we loved him in Pittsburgh as well, and they just loved the pedigree of this kid. They loved the fact that he's a big body, and in those 8 games, he showed a lot of promise. And I think that's the reason why. But I still think it's a very good pick, but I understand what you're saying. I'll give Cincinnati credit for going out, take this guy. I'm kind of glad they did, even though I would have taken him. I would have had no problem taking him, but Pittsburgh feels like they had a superstar fall to them at number 20.
Okay. No, I'm just, that's fine. I was just thinking like with Cincinnati or what they did. I'm just like, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I could be wrong. I mean, a lot of draft experts say things and you look back 4 years later, because I told you, I heard the rumor that everybody wanted Trubisky number one overall in 2017. Here we are 7 years later saying, what were they thinking?
Yeah.
He's from Cleveland.
Pittsburgh fans are also saying, what were they thinking and what were we thinking bringing him in and paying him $10 million a year?
So. Yeah. I think you said your whole quarterback room has been revamped now. So we'll see what that is. Cleveland brought in as free agents, Jameis Winston, Tyler Huntley, and we still have Dorian Thompson Robinson. So
I love that quarterback room there. Let's talk real quick about Baltimore and Cincinnati.
Sure.
You feel they had good drafts as well?
Yeah. Yeah. I think the whole division did. I really did. You really don't know for sure until 2 or 3 years down the road and how these guys pan out. And you never know. Like, you know, we talked about in the 1983 draft when the Steelers passed on Dan Marino and took
Gabe Rivera.
He had that car accident and he was paralyzed after that, and he ruined his career 6 weeks into his season, his rookie season. And he had all this potential and all this promise as a defensive tackle. And it's tragic what happened to that guy. And absolutely, you don't wish that upon your worst enemy. And something like that could happen.
And he passed away a few years ago now.
Oh, he did. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Yes. I'm really sorry to hear that. I didn't know he passed away. But that I mean, something like that could happen. And organizations, you know, you roll the dice, you take that risk. You never really know what could happen. I mean, there was a guy, this was a story in the 60s with the Browns when they traded Bobby Mitchell for the number one overall pick and drafted the guy at Syracuse that broke all of Jim Brown's records. His name was Ernie Davis. He got diagnosed with leukemia in 6 months.
Wow.
After being drafted. And I remember they went to Paul Brown. He says he has leukemia. And Paul Brown was like, is it contagious? Like, he had no idea what it was.
Oh, my goodness.
That's the first thing. This was in the 60s. Yeah. This was in the 60s. So, like I said, you know, I'm not saying that guys are going to die or something's going to happen, tragic's going to happen to them. But you're doing your best as a talent evaluator to get guys to fit your program. And when you have everybody together, everybody on the same page, everybody working together, like all four of these organizations do, and Pittsburgh's probably been doing it the longest of all four of them, you're going to have good drafts, and you're going to always bring in young influx young good players to keep the team, to keep the winning going. And that's how Pittsburgh's been consistent, and that's what we're seeing too with the division. There's other teams that'll be consistent. So it's the NFL, man. That's because it stands for not for long. You always got to draft well because your guys won't last forever.
You know it. I like the Roger Rosengarten pick, the offensive tackle.
Oh yes, he was talked about coming to us. He was talked about coming to the Browns. Rosengarten was a very good pick.
And I also like, man, a guy that I was calling for Pittsburgh to take. They did pass on him, and I'm not sure why TJ Tampa lasted so long to pick 130, but I think he's a disruptor at the corner position. I think he could get in a rotation right away for them. I think that's a good pick.
Maybe he didn't fit with what they did. I don't know.
Possibly. Pittsburgh did end up taking a cornerback in the form of Ryan Watts out of Texas. So, and there's a lot of people that even as a sixth rounder really like that pick. Now, for the Cincinnati Bengals, another interesting draft for them. Does anybody stick out on Cincinnati for you?
Not really that I could think of. I mean, I kind of looked at everybody. Most analysts that I've seen on here were giving grades, and the only reason why the Browns got a B grade from the CBS sports analysts was because they only had six picks. That was it. That's what it was. So I have to give them a B because they didn't have a first round pick. And I was like, okay, that's fair. But they said I think they gave the Bengals an A-. They gave the Steelers an A-. They gave the Baltimore Ravens an A-, and they gave us a B-. So it tells you they're going to be good. Nothing really with Cincinnati stood out. Let me just take a double look at this, because I know there was players I was looking at.
And Chris Jenkins is the only name besides Amarius Mims that I knew of.
Yeah, and there was a guy. Well, there was another guy. Where did he end up going? Was a linebacker from Texas A&M. I wrote about him, and I remember hearing the Steelers loved him. Edgerrin Cooper.
Yes.
You know who I'm talking about? I heard the Steelers loved him, and they did have a need at linebacker. I know that. So they didn't take him. He went in the second round, if I'm not mistaken.
He lasted longer than that. I think he went to the third. Well, you went to the Packers. I do know that.
Okay, went to the Packers.
Green Bay ended up getting them. Where did they get? Oh, no, I'm sorry. He did go in the second at number 45.
45 to the Packers?
Yes. I didn't realize he went that quickly.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh got a linebacker that I absolutely love that has not been hurt for the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. But I will tell you, they probably have one of the purest tacklers, a tackling machine in this guy, Peyton Wilson. So
the receiver Burton from the Alabama. I've heard about his name came up. He was a third round pick, you know, guy from the receiver from the SEC. Nobody else really stood out. They had a lot of picks though. They had a lot of chances here. They had an abundance of picks, but him, Chris Jenkins, of course, a lot of Michigan guys went, you know, this year in the draft. And let's see. Eric Gall, the Iowa tight end. I remember hearing his name too.
Don't know much about him, but
yeah, he was a guy that I heard his name. Like, he would have been a good third or fourth round pick, But that's just so, because we were always talking about tight end, even though, well, I also heard this too, the Browns drafted David Njoku in 2017, and he was our third, or was he? So he was
the third pick. Yeah, he was the third
pick from the Browns. Yeah, because we took Jabril Peppers, and I think he's with New England now. But him and Miles are still there, and I think what it was is because they thought the Steelers were going to take him in the second round.
They took
T.J. Watt instead. So
yeah, there was possible talk that Njoku could have gone in the first round, but he was off the board before the Steelers drafted in the first round, I believe, if I'm not
mistaken. I think so. Yeah, I think they ended up taking T.J. Watt.
Yeah, and then they got stuck with this Watt kid. I mean, they picked him just because his brother was a big name.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. I think what's the record that if Watt's not playing, if he's hurt and he's not playing on that defense, it's like you guys win one and
12, I think.
Yeah. So he's like the cornerstone of your defense, and he's a hell of a player. So yeah,
probably a team with a story defense, probably one of the greatest of all time. And that's crazy to say.
That is, yeah.
He's up there, though.
He's up there. Yeah.
I mean, he's the all time sack leader in Pittsburgh.
Yeah. I wouldn't even have known that. No,
he
I wouldn't.
Just
have known.
Became the all-time sack.
Who did
leader.
He pass up? Who did he pass up?
James Harrison.
Hmm. And Harrison, think about this. Harrison was an undrafted free agent from Kent State.
Cut by Pittsburgh once, and cut by Baltimore twice.
Wow. He's just a Super Bowl MVP.
You know what? You know why? He was 6 foot. If he was a little bit taller, he would have been a first round pick.
Just real quick, we kind of went over the drafts of all these teams. There was this thing, somebody was arguing with me about this. The reason why Pittsburgh got rid of Joey Porter Jr.'s dad, or like they didn't need him anymore, he became expendable, I should say, was because when him and William Green got into the fight and they were both ejected, James Harrison came in and played and he did such a good job. They're like, wow, Joey Porter became expendable. He went to the Dolphins, if I remember correctly.
Now that was for, you got to understand, that was 2004.
Right.
That was November of 2004 when
the Browns were terrible. And the Browns were terrible.
And they he played on the Super Bowl team in 2005 and in 2006 played on the team.
You mean when you won it in 2008?
No, he wasn't there in 2008. He was there for the 2005 championship.
Okay.
Joey Porter was there.
Okay. I thought you were talking about Harrison. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So then Harrison was on that team. He made them notice in 2004 and stuck. And then in 2005, he was a special teamer, but ended up hurting his leg. In the playoffs or so.
And somebody told me William Green spit on Joey Porter, which started the fight. I don't know if that. I didn't hear that here.
That was the talk. I mean, that was the talk. I don't know, but they went at it. And look, I love Joey Porter, but Joey Porter's mouth would cause fights, and that's the bottom line to it. But he could back it up. He definitely could back it up.
Well, they got into a fight and they both got ejected, and Cowher was pissed because his starting linebacker.
Yeah, before the game. And then
before the game, and you get ejected. That's bad. It's not
James Harrison came in and played well.
Yeah.
And then,
and we didn't have a backup running back. So we didn't, we had nobody after that. So,
and that was the Jeff Garcia year, right? Was it Delhomme or Jeff Garcia?
That was Garcia. And there's a guy in Cleveland, his name's Sir Yacht, and he went to every Browns quarterback from 1999 till now and interviewed them. Everybody that played, because we had like a carousel of quarterbacks, and he interviewed Jeff Garcia. And some of the stories these guys were telling about the dysfunction of the team at the time was unbelievable, because Garcia said no matter what they got, they're come hell or high water, they were running that play. They didn't make any audibles, make any adjustments, didn't look and say, okay, this isn't going to work with this defense. they just went and did it. And Trent Dilfer played for us for a year. And do you remember that draft when the Colts passed on Dilfer and he went to the Buccaneers?
Yeah, 1994.
And then that whole Mel Kiper dust up with the Colts GM. Yep. Do you want to know why the Colts passed on him? Did you ever hear the story?
No, I'd love to know.
Okay. He told Trent Dilfer told the Colts, if you draft me, I will not sign with you.
Wow.
I will hold out. He and told them that.
I believe they took Quentin Coriot.
No, they took Trev Alberts, the linebacker from that. And that's why Kuiper said, I can't believe they passed on this guy, blah, blah, blah. And then the GM's like, who is this guy? Who's Mel Kiper? Who is he?
I watched that recently. Yeah,
I remember that. But that's what Dilfer said that. And it was like, there's no way Kuiper would have known that. I told them so that's why they passed on him. That was it. Cause he said, if somebody tells me, hey, they just didn't want to deal with it, there's like, fine. And he was fully prepared to hold out until the next year and be the number one pick for Carolina. That's what Dilfer said. He was willing to do that. He did not want to play for the Colts for whatever reason.
Wow. That's fascinating.
That's why a lot of times there's things going on that we'll never know until somebody says something. And you hear all these stories like years later, it's like, man, that's interesting. I think Dilfer now, he won a Super Bowl in Baltimore, and he's a head coach of Birmingham, University of Alabama, Birmingham, UAB. He's a college head coach somewhere.
I do not know. I'd love to fake it and say, yeah, I think so, but no, I don't know.
I'll have my research team look at that real quick. But yeah. So anyway, I think overall Baltimore did good. Cincinnati had a lot of picks. They had like 9 picks total.
Could you rank the division for me?
This is me, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Cincinnati, then Cleveland, just because I will say that we only had 6 picks.
Okay.
We only had 6 picks, but what we did was solid. That's just, you're talking about just the draft or how I think everybody's going to do.
No, I'm talking about the draft. I would actually, believe it or not, I would probably go Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Baltimore, really? Cincinnati. Yeah.
Really? You give us that high grade.
I like what they did with a limited amount of picks.
Yeah. They made it work.
Baltimore's was pretty solid though too.
Yeah, Dilfer is a 2023 president. He is the head coach for the University of Alabama, Birmingham.
There he is. UAB.
Good guy. Yeah, all right. He's a good dude. I think you know what? Interesting. One other story. I worked in television in Cleveland, and we had Terry Bradshaw on as a guest. And the thing that shocked me about it was how tall he was and how big he was.
Oh yeah.
I was like shocked. But I met him. I got a chance to talk more and all my Brown stuff and everything. And I was an editor, video editor, and they were trying to put in B-roll of him playing football on the big plasma screen TV. And he was going to sit there. And I think he was talking about the work he does. I think dealing with anxiety and depression, stuff like that. And he was on our show, morning show. But they thought it was cute. You remember Turkey Jones?
Yep, 1976.
When he basically suplexed him on his head.
Turkey Jones.
They thought that would be funny to put that up there, Walter. I said, I'm not going to do that. Because if he walks off that set, are you going to explain to the news director and executive producer why Terry Bradshaw walked off our show? Because we couldn't show him respect.
Yeah,
I said, no, I'm not going to do that. I said, well, I'll show him throwing touchdowns. I'll show him throwing passes, whatever. Watch the Lynn Swan famous one in the Super Bowl, whichever one. I said, no, and I'm not going to do that. And he was actually very cordial. He was very nice. He was a
funny
very nice
thing
guy.
About that Lynn Swan, one of those Lynn Swan touchdowns in the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. He didn't finish that game. He got knocked out on his final touchdown pass.
Was that the
he had a concussion?
Rams?
No, was that was Dallas? That was Dallas Super Bowl 10.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, and he woke up in the locker room and said, "Did we win?"
Wow.
Yeah,
that was back in the day when if you woke up, they put you back out there. You didn't have concussion protocols back then.
Absolutely. Well, you mentioned a suplex, and I was going to bring this up when we talked about James Harrison, because the Cleveland Pittsburgh rivalry has had a few WWE moments, especially with Miles Garrett. Yep. With Joe Turkey Jones and a guy we just talked about, James Harrison, body slamming a fan.
Yes.
But you have a connection with the city of Pittsburgh because of the same thing. Can you talk about that?
Yes, I'm a retired pro wrestler, and I was very well known in Pittsburgh as a professional wrestler, and they knew I was from Cleveland. When I was there most of the time, it was when the Browns were on that 3-year hiatus. It was throughout the 90s, and I wrestled for the WWF. Look me up. Lou Marconi was my real name. And the biggest thrill of my career, and I always said this, was when I met Pittsburgh's Bruno Sammartino. when I got to meet him. And I shook his hand. I said, sir, it's an honor to meet you. My name is Lou Marconi. And he just was like, Lou Marconi. That's a great name, Lou Marconi. And I was like, because it's Italian. Yeah. I said, sir, it's my real name. It's, oh, that's even better. And he hugged me. Bruno Sammartino hugged me. Dominic DiNucci was there too. And yes, I'm a retired pro wrestler. And I got to meet Bruno Sammartino. I remember calling my dad, you wouldn't believe this. He was like, really? He's like, cool. He's like, Bruno Sammartino, great guy. I mean, what a gentleman. What a gentleman he was. So was Dominic DiNucci too. So Lord rest their souls, man.
In recent years, Pittsburgh and Cleveland have boasted some great professional wrestling names. Mm-hmm. Of course, on the Pittsburgh side, you have Elias, Corey Graves, of course, Kurt Angle. And on the Cleveland side, Nick Nemeth, you might know as Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah, yes, I know Nick.
Well, I knew you knew it, but I was telling the fans. Nick Nemeth, The Miz, and now Logan Paul.
And don't forget, Eric, the Viking Raider.
Oh, and
is Ray Rowe.
Is he the one married to Sarah?
Yes.
Or is that Ivar?
I trained him as a pro wrestler.
Oh, awesome.
I talked to him regularly. Yeah, I got him in with the Erie, Pennsylvania promoter, and I got him in with the Pittsburgh people because Norm Connors used to run Steel City Wrestling and ran International Wrestling Cartel. I haven't talked to Norm in a while, but I said, hey, because he's one of my students, said, here, use this guy. Because that's how it works. When you start getting trained by somebody that knows people in the business, they can put in a word for you with promotions and they'll start using you. That's how it worked. That's Charlie Fulton broke me in Ohio, and he basically made a few calls for me. Like whenever anybody called and they needed somebody, I got sent. And one of my favorite guys in the business, Lord Zoltan, who's known as Ken Jugan is his real name, got me started out too. He helped me out because I just happened to be home and they had a Pittsburgh crew going to a show in Akron and they needed a guy. And they said, hey, can you meet us there? I said, yep, I'll be there. I just happened to be home and answered my phone. And I ended up getting booked in Pittsburgh ever since. Cause I ended up wrestling a local Pittsburgh guy named T. Ranchula on the show.
Mm-hmm. Oh, awesome. One more thing.
Sure.
Kurt Angle actually had a tryout with the Pittsburgh Steelers as a fullback back in 94.
Interesting.
Yeah.
He's a great athlete. And actually, just so you know, when Kurt Angle was at Clarion, my brother was wrestling at Cleveland State. And when he heard my name, he asked me if I knew Dennis Marconi. I was like, yeah, that's my brother. So he's like, okay. So when I met Kurt Angle at WWF at the time, but before it turned into WWE, he knew who my brother was. And my brother was a state champion wrestler. He was the athlete of the family. He was a better athlete than I was, a lot better. So now I'm the better podcaster.
There you go.
And that's how it works.
Look, I know we're a Steelers show, but the reason we're talking wrestling is Lou Marconi is going to have on Fans First Sports Network, going to have the
StuCast. Yes, we're gonna have the StuCast Pro Wrestling Network, and we're working on development because we actually one of our shows that I do on Rumble with Corey Castle, my co-host and partner, is called the Sunday StuPod. It's a pro wrestling talk show, and we have other people willing to come in, people that really like to talk wrestling. So we're working, it's in development right now, but I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you. Yeah, with the Fans First, we're gonna do the StuCast. Yes.
Well,
a logo as we speak.
Everybody knows right now that when you listen to me and Jeff, like I'll throw in a wrestling reference every time I can.
Yeah.
Now you know Pittsburgh, they talk Yinzer, and when I do my Yinzer accent, Jeff tells me no Yinzer accent.
No,
but when I do my Dusty Rhodes impression, a gold watch, Daddy. They kick you in the butt. I could get hard times, baby. Hard times.
Hard times, Ric Flair. Ric Flair, hard times.
You do it better than I do, right?
Oh, jeez. I had so much fun being a pro wrestler. And yeah, you could see the belts behind me and the trophies. Yeah, it's just long retired. I've been retired since my first daughter was born. So I just didn't want to be on the road when I'd be a family man at the same time. So that's the main reason. Plus, I'm about to turn 51. My body is beat up. I have arthritis in my knees, my hands, and my elbows. It catches up to you. Sooner or later, we're all human, man. We our bodies get beat up.
Well, so, God bless you because that is.
God bless you. God bless everybody. Yeah.
Tell you what, people don't understand. The athleticism the it's fantastic hard. Athleticism to do that job. So that's amazing.
It's a tough business, and you got to be cut out to do it. Absolutely. And you have much respect for anybody that does it. Absolutely. I just had an idea. Let me know if you think about this, because the schedule will probably be announced in 2 weeks. If you want to get together and talk schedule, games, or whatever's going on, because I would predict this with the Browns. There was rumored they were going to get the Brazil game, but they didn't. I'm thinking they're going to get a game in London against Jacksonville, because we're supposed to go there for one of our games. So
yeah, that's probably a pretty good call. But we could talk forever on that. It's time to get on out of here. It's bad language. My name is Brian Anthony Davis. This was Lou Marconi. Thanks so much, Lou.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on. And guys, hey, well, you know what? Let's have fun.
We will have you on here again. You'll definitely be on bad language, probably to follow up the Pittsburgh Browns games. There's going to be two of them. So we will definitely see you on this show again. And anytime you want me,
we could play each other again in the playoffs.
Yeah. We kind of need revenge on that one.
Yeah. You'll have a full stadium either way.
The only problem when Lou and I are on the same show together, a 15 minute show just went 50. So it's time to get on. 5 minute
phone call we had.
Yeah. Absolutely. I love talking to this man. So for Lou Marconi, my name is Brian Anthony Davis. This has been another episode of Bad Language. And as always, I ain't apologizing for nothing.
Don't blame me.
Don't always do what I should. I'd be better if I thought I could. I'm a sucker for adrenaline. Every villain is.